Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad that you're tuning in to us tonight. Stay tuned until after the song. God bless you all.
From the day I was born, I'll bless you.
are you, sir?
Good, man. Good, man. Good. We're running a little late today here on Dirty Church Radio.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, man. You know how it is. Dealing with family.
Mm-hmm.
Different things that we connect ourselves to, certain obligations. You know, it happens, man. But anyway, we still here. We pressed our way here onto Dirty Church Radio. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be alive, to still be breathing, to see another day. You know what I'm saying? It felt good to wake up this morning and see my children alive and well, healthy, you know. So got a lot to be happy and thankful for, man.
Always, every day.
So what's going on, Mr. Spradley?
Well, you know, loving life like always. Living it to the best of my ability. And I'm hoping not to regret too many things each day. That's about it. That's about it.
Wow.
And then, you know, wondering why people believe, you know.
Why do people believe?
Yeah.
That's a question, man. Like you said, it's been asked since the beginning of time, I believe. That's a question that many people felt one way or another about belief, whether they believe or not. Even the person that doesn't believe would ask the question, why do those around him believe what he doesn't believe?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they? Why don't they see it my way? How foolish could they be to believe something? They should see it my way. You know what I mean? I mean, then the person that believes, like, why wouldn't the person that, you know, why could they not believe? How could they miss it? How could they not see that my God is real, that he's here? How could they overlook the fact that they, you know, are existing because of him? What is wrong with them? You know? So it's from both sides, man. It's a question asked. The finger is pointing at each other. You know what I mean? The finger is from the believer is pointing at the unbeliever. The unbeliever is pointing at the believer. Then you got the ones who don't even care about neither one. You know what I'm saying?
My question to you, you know what atheists are, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you think atheists believe in, well, for people that don't know what atheists and atheism is, it's especially the, you have all types of atheists, but the term has become coined new atheists nowadays, where they don't necessarily, they don't say that they don't necessarily believe that a God or gods exist. What they do is they say, we don't necessarily know whether a God or gods exist. We don't accept the God claims of there be any type of gods, one or a lot of gods that actually exist, because of the lack of evidence. Now, why don't you think that atheists believe in gods, from your opinion?
In my opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe the average atheist who out there, who they don't believe because they really have questions that they want answers to. And they want to answer as just if I said I have a friend named John or a friend named Aaron. And until I actually introduce that friend or let you talk to that friend, once you talk to that friend and you meet my friend and you see him, now you know that I have a friend named so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, you know, there have been many claims throughout time of God, but no one has ever been able to say, look, here's God, and let and show God as a person or something that they can, this is the evidence that this is God Almighty, the one of the Bible or whatever gods are saying. Someone say, well, God, they showed God through miracles or through signs and wonders or through supernatural movements, things like that. But I believe a lot of them, they want an explanation that's simple, it's difficult, and then a lot of atheists, you know, they have a problem with the Bible, you know, certain scriptures that's in the Bible. And you got some atheists, you know, who study the Bible just as much as a believer does. Because some atheists really, I believe, really search or really have tried to search and find God through reading the Bible and trying to actually find God. And mm-hmm. what they found, I believe they found, they believe they found, you know, man's opinions or man's perception of the God of the Bible. But to them, that is not enough proof that actually convinces them, you know. And it may be other reasons, but I think it's mainly the thing, it's not, they haven't seen enough to believe.
Okay.
Or what they, yeah, I believe. That's what I believe.
All right, well, my next question to you is, why do you think one type of Christian wouldn't believe the way another Christian would believe?
Before you ask that one, mm-hmm. what I want to do tonight, right, can I hear, off of every question that you ask me,
mm-hmm.
can I hear your answer to it too?
Yeah, you ask back and I answer.
Okay, that's what I just said.
Yeah, no problem.
I just before we moved on, what is the atheist to you?
Like I said, you have different types of atheists. You have more of the militant atheists who basically asserts and claims that for a fact there is no God. They don't. You necessarily can't have any type of argument with them because they accept to know that there is no God. You have more of the agnostic atheists basically saying that I don't necessarily accept God claims.
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of 609.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't. They don't necessarily accept the God claims, but they say, I don't know if there isn't a God. I just don't accept the God claims. And you have more of, like I said before, of the new atheists, basically saying that there is not enough evidence to show or see that a God or gods exist, so they don't accept any type of claim of some type of supernatural being who's in the sky that created all. That's how I see atheism. Is the reason why people accept atheism or take the position to be an atheist. I think for a lot of reasons, like you said, they search, and through their search, they find no evidence. Some people actually don't necessarily accept miracle claims. That's not proof enough. And there may be people who may have had a bad experience with religion and totally, you know, disconnected themselves to religion and wiped out, you know, a claim for the existence of a God altogether because of anger or, you know, or because of strife against, you know, a certain type of religion. Those are some of the reasons that I think atheists, to describe atheism and people who practice atheism.
Okay. So I asked your question. You had a second question. I just wanted to.
Oh, okay. The second question is, why do you think some Christians may accept certain claims about God and other Christians may not accept certain claims about God within the same, you know, religious, you know, denomination or?
Well, I believe this right here. I believe everyone that calls themselves a Christian doesn't study the word like others do. You got some that study more than others. You got some that just go to church, they hear a word, they praise God, whatever, and they keep it moving. But I believe there are not there are some that are not actually searching or, you know, asking questions. They're just satisfied whatever anyone says to them or, you know, preach word, you know. They go to church, they get the word. But out during the week, they don't actually study the Bible for themselves. They don't study. You know what I mean? So a lot of times things that they speak stuff from what they heard, like cliches of the word, but not actually, you know, a studied word from their heart that they actually study. And then again, we're all different individuals, and I believe some people may accept some things, but they won't accept some things because if they accept some things according to the Bible, it interferes in their lifestyle, or it interferes in those things that they don't, they're not willing to part with. So they'll just receive, you know, part of the word that they can feel they can live with and still do what they want to do. And I'm talking about from a Christian point of view. And being saved or in faith. Some people, you know, accept, you know, parts of the scripture, but certain parts they won't deal with because that's where they are in their life. So they try to avoid certain scriptures or certain word because that's a word that's supposed to bring conviction. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, once you come into the knowledge, something, you should walk therein. So some people, you know, they just get stuck at a certain place, and they don't go no further within their study. So I believe that's how a lot of different points of views or different belief systems come up in the Bible. Some come up from people justifying or trying to justify their actions. Then you got some people who are over extremists who are so spiritual that they have no common sense, and they go overboard. And a lot of times that causes people to neglect their families, neglect their wives and their children, and the natural things that you need to do in this life because you're so spiritual, you try to be so deep. And you might have someone who is trying to have balance with family and church. So normally, if you mix two of those people together, normally there might be some disagreement or different points of views. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question or what you was looking for, but that is.
It makes sense to me.
One part I take on it.
Okay. To answer that question, like I said before, I believe since we're talking about Christianity, I believe the Bible to be a very, and I say it all the time, an ambiguous book, meaning that, you know, it can mean basically whatever you want it to mean. If you want to teach the doctrine of slavery, you can back it up in the Bible. If you want to actually teach to abolish slavery, then the Bible can actually back that up. And you can basically take it from a lot of angles. If you want to say that divorce is okay, you can look through certain scriptures and you can find it to be okay. If you want to say divorce is bad and it's not okay, you can look through certain scriptures and find that to be true. So depending on who you are, depending on where you are in your life, your views, your values, you know, your morals. You base your religion personally on that. Religion is, to me, I believe religion is not actually the tool where people, like, it's, this is, the book says this, this is what you have to follow without a shadow of a doubt. It's not as cut and dry like that. It's more so my life, how I live my life. I kind of outweigh it with the Bible, and I kind of measure it toward the Bible. And the things that I accept are the things that I follow within the Bible. The things that I don't accept are the things, you know, I put those kind of things to the side. And I believe that's how religion is formed. You have some people that will agree with my certain lifestyle and morals and certain things I accept, and we form a religion that way. You have other people that believe differently, so they form a religion that way. And I think that's why within the same, you know, within the same religion, I think a lot of people differ from.
Well, tonight, before we even go further, I'm going to make a call, and we're going to ask this person. Our brother Bill, he comes on with us sometime. I'm going to call him from the show, and we're going to ask him a question of why he believes.
Okay.
I'm going to do that real quick until we go on. And I think this is a real good topic, man. I think this is something I really, when you brought this topic up, it's a topic where I really want to hear from people.
Yeah, I know,
you
know me
saying?
Too.
I really want to hear what people have to say, and I mean, what makes them believe. Just, we're very interested. I'm gonna call him right now, so we're dialing him live on the air right now. See what says. I wonder what number pops up when you call from here.
Sometimes it's just different numbers. Sometimes I think it's New York. Other times I think it's California. Yeah, it comes up as a lot of numbers at times.
Maybe he in the church. But we'll try back with him.
Okay.
Right. So, let me ask you this question. I want to read this thing. It says you feel that finite life in this world is meaningless unless there's something afterwards. In other words, if no matter what you do, you die and turn to death, thus, what difference does it make whatever you do in your life? So you have to believe that there's something more. However, not only is this wishful thinking, again, but it's a limiting view of life. If you believe that the purpose of life is something exterior, then this view makes sense. However, if you instead believe that the purpose of life is life itself, that is, that life needs no external justification, and is worth it on its own, not to mention that it can be utterly enjoyable, and that you actually can make a difference while you're here, then you can easily see what's wrong with this view of existence.
Makes sense.
Which one would you be?
I would actually be the second one, because I believe that you don't necessarily have to believe that there is a life after this life to have meaning. I believe that Martin Luther King was a prime example of that. He actually changed a lot of people's view on life while he was here. After he died, his view still lived. So his views and his morality and, you know, his vision had purpose while he was here. He didn't necessarily have to live for the sake of living afterlife to establish some type of purpose or some type of meaning. He applied meaning while he was here, and I think a lot of people on that level to some degree apply meaning while they're here. If I have a family and if I'm trying to be the best husband or best wife or best, you know, son or daughter that I can be, I'm going to establish that while I'm here. There's no proof of what type of life I'm going to have afterwards. It's speculation because no one knows. So I try to live the best life that I can live while I'm here.
I hear you. And I believe it's important, even as me being a Christian, I believe that it is important how you live your life down here. And I believe that life is something precious. I believe that it's not something that we should abuse. It's not something that we should, you know, take so lightly. I believe it's something that we should truly cherish.
What I would have to say to that is, but you are basing your life decisions on here based on the afterlife.
I believe in the kingdom of God. Like, yes.
Yeah, no, the reason why you are doing the things you're doing is because of the benefits of the afterlife.
No.
So basically, the better
you
do here.
You got to understand. I'm not, I'm not a bank robber, right? Or I'm not a murderer. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I got mad issues. But it's not like I don't do those things just because I want to go to heaven. I don't do those things because I don't want to do those things. You know what I mean?
So
I don't see, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, I don't need the thought of heaven to make me not commit a crime.
So why don't you commit crimes, or why don't you hurt yourself or do all those things you see to be, you
know,
wrong?
Because I love me. Like I love me. And I don't do those things in this earth room because, first of all, I'm not a person that's full of hatred towards mankind. All right. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that I don't like. I would say don't like their ways. You know what I'm saying? Throughout my life growing up, you know, I think we've all met some people that, you know, you didn't click with them, or you had some disagreements, or you may have had some fights. You may have, you know, however it started. But I'm still not a person that walk around with hate. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is like this. I live in my life the best way I can. You hear me
but
out?
Why?
No, listen. I'm living my life out the best way I can. First of all, because, all right, me personally, and like we said, it goes to your upbringing. I was raised to know or taught what was right or wrong. I was raised to be kind to your neighbor. You know what I mean? Show respect to your elders. You know what I mean? Like, you know, be so kind, like, you know, follow peace with people, you know what I'm saying? But then also, I believe that I am the creation. And besides me, I believe God is my creator, you know what I'm saying? And I believe that, me personally, I believe with him, I am complete. Without him, I still exist. But with him, I believe, is where, with the direction and guidance of God, I look at God as a mirror. And I believe God, in God, is what reflects my real identity. It shows me, it gives me a glimpse, not even a glimpse, but it mirrors my true identity. And from there, once I find my true identity, I believe that's when I can truly take notice of my purpose in this life. You know what I mean? I
believe you don't necessarily think that you are going to be rewarded in the afterlife because of the life you live here?
No, first of all, once I accepted Christ, eternal life is my reward. Accepting Christ, that's my reward. It's not even with me about getting other rewards, just the point of living in God's kingdom after this.
So the
you know what I mean?
Only
Which
thing
I believe in.
That, the only thing that actually gets you to heaven is accepting Christ.
Yeah, for me, yes. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, yes. And
so,
we could go into other religions, but I don't think that show.
No.
Right?
I'm just,
it's not
I'm,
that
I'm,
show.
No, I'm not even talking
I
about
believe.
That. I'm saying in the sense of, so basically you accepting Christ gets you into heaven. So let's say if you lived your life a certain type of way, still by accepting Christ, are you going to get into heaven? Or are you actually saying that certain things that you actually do is going to...
So are we going into that conversation?
No, I'm not. I'm asking that because...
I believe we had a show on it.
No, I know. My ultimate question is basically, why are you doing the good things you're actually doing if you don't think that there's reward afterwards?
First of all, you got
because
all,
you don't
do
necessarily
good...
need you don't necessarily need the thought of the life after if you're doing good things just because you do good things because it's who you are.
No, but good things is not enough. Like good things is not enough. In what I believe in acknowledging my Creator and accepting His love and the price that He paid for me. That's what gets it done. It's not about no good deeds. It's not about that. It's a difference between you can be a good person and do good things, but the greatest thing you can do is acknowledge and accept God, and not to deny God. That's the greatest thing. You know what I mean? I don't even look at it like just because I did this little thing right here. All right, that's a brownie point or something like that. It's like, listen, the biggest gift and the biggest thing for me is accepting the love that Christ gave for me. You know what I mean? Accepting that love and acknowledging it. That's the biggest thing from my point.
You actually do that with knowing that by you doing that, God is actually looking down at you, being proud of you because you are doing the things that you believe God accepts to be good.
Yeah, but believing in Him is the number one thing. Yeah, believing in Him and accepting Him is the number one thing, and accepting His love of what He done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And not so much focusing on it's what He's done for mankind, and the way of salvation. That's the greatest gift right there.
Yeah,
that's greater than anything that I can do.
And that's cool. But after you do that, then the rest of your life, you basically do good things based on Jesus looking down at you saying,
I do good things because now I'm a witness and I represent who He is, His principles. My eyes have been opened.
Yes.
To a
yes,
better
exactly
way,
what
you know
I'm
what I mean?
Saying.
Yeah. So. And you know what? And to me, that's a great thing.
I'm not saying it isn't. But earlier, you basically said you don't necessarily do things because you believe.
Because, listen,
and I'm saying on the contrary, you do.
But no, but listen,
and if you don't,
before salvation,
then why
came,
do you need it?
No, what you mean? You do need it because what I do, what you do in the natural is in the natural, man. But I believe that we are spiritual beings first. And this is about making sure your spirit man is secure. It's not about the natural deeds. I mean, you could do good. You got a bank robber that can go into a bank robber and kill a whole bunch of people to get some money. But then he can go donate the money to the to a children's hospital. You know what I'm saying? For sick kids. You know what I mean? He did a good thing. Right there, but then he just went and did something else. So it's not really about the actual deed when it comes to God. It's about you accepting him and believing in him that makes you, you know what I mean, accepting him and being born again, man. You know what I mean? And trying to live your life according to the principles and standards that he set. And not saying that you're going to dot every I and cross every T, but the ultimate goal is once you accept Christ, man, and the love, man, is in your heart, you want to do things that's pleasing in his sight. You don't want to live your life as an offense to him, offense to God. You know what I mean?
Go ahead. Do you think that belief is a choice, not religion, belief?
Do I believe belief is a choice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do believe it is a choice. I do believe it is something that you, it is something that you choose.
Okay.
Yeah, I do believe that it's something that you have to choose. You know what I mean? You have to choose to say yes or no.
Mm.
With anything, you know what I mean? If you say no, you chose to say no. If you say yes, you choose. So it is it's a choice. You can't escape the fact of choice. You know what I mean? You can't escape that. I mean, you can't avoid that. Like, you have to make a choice with mainly everything in life. It's a choice. Whether you're forced to or not, it's still a choice. And the only reason why you're forced to do anything is because the fear of something. And we had that discussion, you know, the fears of the mind. So fear of something, if someone is forcing you to do something, only reason why they have power to force you is because of the fear that they're presenting to you. But if you didn't have the fear of it, you wouldn't have the pressure of making a choice that they're forcing you to make. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I understand. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand.
Also, why you don't agree? I want to know that.
Well,
I want to hear that.
There's a lot of reasons why I don't agree, but the first part of it.
What's the first part of it? I want to hear the first part of it. Let's start somewhere.
The first part of it is basically the premise of choice. And I don't believe that, or I don't necessarily accept or agree with belief being a choice, like in its simplest form, like what do you want, an apple or orange? I don't believe it's a simple choice like that. I believe, I accept that it
is. Is it a choice, though?
I just want to be clear.
No, let's take the word simple. Let's take all the in between stuff out.
Well, I can't.
Is it a choice or it's not?
Because a choice is a choice.
Is a choice. It's no in between with a choice. A choice is a choice.
Yeah, it is an in between.
Because that way it's not a choice then.
Because choices aren't black and white.
Give me an example.
I'm actually giving you the example of belief. Belief is more so something that that is actually indoctrinated and embedded in us as a young child, as a time we're born, all the way up to our adult life. And a lot of times the choice isn't there because we already accept it. If our parents necessarily are the ones who are teaching us a certain type of belief or a certain type of religion, nine times out of ten, unless we break the monotony of kind of being brainwashed in the sense of not questioning what is familiar to us, we will always accept whatever that thing to be true. So it's not a choice in the sense of, you know, I want an orange instead of an apple. It's not that easy.
No, hold up. But my thing is, we're not talking about how difficult or how simple a choice is. We're still,
well,
it's
those
still
are the
a
factors
choice.
You have to look at. No, those are the factors you have to look at because
no, but
you
but,
can't
but,
look at religion
but,
to be, or
but,
you can't look at belief
no, but,
to be.
It's still a choice,
is,
though.
This is something that I actually can pick.
No, but
just,
you gotta understand now. Listen,
easy.
But you gotta understand. If you're talking about a child from a baby, I'm talking about. I think right now we're talking about. We're not talking about infants. We're talking about actually people who have the ability to make a choice. So let's wipe out when you have a baby. The baby could totally depends on you. You raise your child up in the household. Eventually, you take them to church, and eventually they start going to school. They start hearing other things, and then they start getting to the point where they can make choices more so for themselves. Because
exactly.
Everyone that was
that's
so
my
what
point.
I'm saying, but what I'm saying, we're talking about why do we believe? We're not asking a 2-year-old or 3 or 4-year-old right now why they believe. We're on this. This is like mainly more so of an adult show, so we're asking adults. You know what I mean? So we're talking from that angle. All right, you was raised up in church. All right, you 21 or you 17 or 18, whatever age you are right now. You done raised up in your church. Your mother and them taught you this way, this way. What? How does your mind think now? What have you seen now? What choices
and
are you making now? So
you,
it's still
you
a
just
choice.
Said it. You actually just said it. You said that I can grow up and make my own decision because a lot
but,
of times the decision
still,
that
but, just, it's still
something
a choice, though. You're trying to say that it's not a choice. It's still a choice, though.
No,
Eric.
I'm saying it is not a choice in the most simplest form. As
no, we're not measuring choice.
Or would you want an
no,
apple?
We're not measuring choice, though. We're just
yes,
saying is it a choice or not?
You have to measure choice when it
no,
comes
it's
to
not.
Believe.
No, listen. No, listen. I know people that was raised up in church. All right, daddy's preachers. Mamas, preachers, and everything. Go to church on Sunday, hear the word and everything, and did everything after church was over against everything that the church taught and believed. So, really, like, everything against it. So, once it's choice, you can easily make a choice. You can easily
now,
make a choice because your religion can say, listen, you're not supposed to go out in clubs, but then you sneak out and go in clubs. You made a choice.
See, but what you are explaining are actually actions, but if you ask their belief, because we're talking about belief here, not necessarily religion, and when you talk about someone's belief, that is totally different in choice making than actually following rules based on religion.
Yeah, but
because
what I'm saying,
people
it, but,
can
but,
actually
but
break rules.
But
their
listen,
but their belief still stands.
But then how you respond and how you act really shows whether you believe what you say you believe.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Listen, I have a question for you. I have a question for you. Then, if that's the case, check this out. You believe in a certain type of faith, correct? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you follow that belief 100%?
What, to the letter?
Yes.
Try to, but no.
Okay, so does that alter the way you believe?
You said does it alter the way I believe, the stuff that I do?
Yes.
No, but you know what? No, this is what it happens. How I live my life
that's,
and what I
that's
profess.
That's my answer.
No, but listen, how I live my life gives the definition of how you really believe. Because
so
if you
you're
really
saying
believe,
that you don't really believe then?
No, this is what I'm saying. If right now you believe,
mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
No, hold up. Let's take it this way. If I go to church, or I
mm-hmm.
go to church and I believe in God, and I tell everybody Christ saves, He's a healer. You know, I speak and witness and do all the stuff that the Bible says. than when I'm faced with the same things that I'm telling everybody else about in my religion. I'm telling them. And when I'm faced with it, I don't receive it and I don't believe it. I tell everybody else they can be healed, but when I get sick, I don't believe it. My thing is, do I really believe like I say I believe, or is it more so lip service?
No, I think you actually really do believe. But like some people, there are moments, there are times when your faith can be challenged, or there are times when you necessarily think that you are supposed to be healed from something, but you accept the fact that God is allowing you to go through this for some type of higher reason or bigger purpose. So until you come to grips of whatever reason that you may take and why you're going through with this, I mean, that can be your reason. So you don't necessarily have to basically say,
lip
service?
It's still a choice, though.
But it doesn't alter your belief. Religion.
So what I'm saying, though. So let me say. So what you're saying is. You don't believe. You don't believe there is a such thing as someone who says they believe but don't. You don't believe that there are any. You don't believe in the hypocrisy or a hypocrite. You don't believe in that word. You don't believe someone can.
Yes, I believe in that, but we're not talking about that, though.
No, but what I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying. You cannot escape the fact, though, that you choose to still believe. You still make a choice to believe.
If you are intentionally lying to people, that's one thing. But if you actually believe something to be true, but at a particular time in your life you may be challenged with it because it may be difficult at the time for you to accept that certain thing. Then I think that's totally different, and I don't think people actually say there are people that are actually lying and then believing it when it comes to religion. It kind of defeats the purpose of lying. I'm talking about people who actually believe. There are people believe in something. There are people that actually believe in something. And what happens is when you accept that belief, no matter what you may do, it doesn't alter your belief. It may alter your perception through religion, but it doesn't have to alter your belief.
All right. So, do you believe differently than you used to when you was younger?
Yes, I do.
So what happened? You made a choice, didn't you?
Yes, and guess what? It was
but
a very
still,
very.
Still, it still was a choice, though.
I'm not saying that you can't.
I'm just saying you. But what I'm
the
saying,
only
though,
thing
you,
I'm
you,
saying,
you're trying to argue me that it's not a choice.
No, I didn't say. I didn't say it
is
a choice. I said that it's not as easy as apples and orange when it comes to belief. That's something
still a choice,
that is
though.
Embedded into you.
But I'm saying it's still a choice, whether how hard or easy. It's still
yeah,
a choice
yeah,
when you mm-hmm. once you make it. It's still a choice. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not. You know, some choices will be harder than others, and
but
I believe
I'm
what
saying,
it was hard for you to make certain choices because
I'm
you believed certain
not,
things for a long period of time. So once you made the choice, it still was a choice, regardless how difficult it was or easy. It still was a choice.
I'm saying that it's not a choice in its most simplest form as how people may view a choice, saying that, okay, I can wake up one morning and say that I don't necessarily believe this.
A choice, though. Whether how long it takes you to make it, it's still a choice. You know what I mean? Regardless of how long it takes you to make the choice, you cannot escape the fact that it was a choice. How long it took you to get there, how long you thought about it, how long, what research, how long it took you, you know what I mean? How long you had to convince yourself, regardless, even if you felt guilty once you made it.
See, but no,
that's
what I'm saying. It's not a choice in that sense.
But it's still a choice. A choice is a choice.
You may call it a choice, but there is a difference.
So give me another word then. If it's not a choice, give me another word.
I necessarily don't have another word for it.
Yeah, I know you don't. You can't think of another word.
No, I can't.
Yeah, because
I'm telling you that it's not a choice.
You might as well move on from right there, because you can't.
No,
you can't win that.
I'm saying that it's not. I'm not trying to win. All I'm saying
is, it's still a choice.
No, a choice is not a choice.
So when is a choice not a choice?
You cannot say.
No, I'm saying when is a choice not a choice though.
You can't say that it's a choice.
When is a choice not a choice? I need to know that. When is a choice not a choice?
When it is something that is embedded into you. That's when it isn't a choice.
All right, let me ask you this. If I put a gun to your head and I say, give me your money, right?
Yes.
Do you have to give me your money?
If I want to live, yes.
All right, but so you still have to make a choice.
No, it's not. It's not a choice.
No, it is a choice. It's still,
no,
yes,
because
it
somebody's
still
choosing
a choice
for me.
No, that's not a choice. No, you're still choosing for yourself.
No, I'm
you're
not
still
choosing
for
myself.
Yourself. Yes, it is. You
see,
are
I don't. I wouldn't agree with that as being a choice.
Listen,
I would agree with that as being someone choosing for me.
There are people who got guns put to them and was like, "Yo, I'm not giving you nothing." Only reason why you make the choice to give because the fear of death or the fear of not seeing your loved ones no more or what they can do to you. And it makes you make a choice. But you can't escape the fact that it's a choice.
That's my thing. I don't believe that to be choice in the simplest form. I believe that to be someone choosing. I believe that to be someone choosing for you.
No, it's
you don't have the choice in the matter.
It's still a choice. Yes, you do. You always have a choice.
Yeah, I just don't see it that way.
It's still a choice, man. It's still a choice.
I just don't necessarily accept that to be true. That's all.
Listen, that's if somebody. Let's take it even deeper. In this Dirty Church Radio, somebody come with a gun to you, and they tell you take your clothes off, all right, strip down, and I want you, and you're gonna do what I say. You make a choice.
Yet again, I don't believe that is a choice. That's someone choosing for me.
How is
because
someone choosing for
me,
you?
Because to me, death isn't a choice. I'm not going to choose to die unless I put the gun to my own head. But if someone puts a gun to my head, then they're choosing for me.
No, but if they're giving you demands, you still make a choice. Because you can choose to be like, you know what? If this is my last day on earth, because you can still choose to do what you're going to do, even if I obey what you're saying, and you can still do what you're doing. So some people make the choice, you know what? If it's my last breath on this earth, I'm going to leave this earth, you know what I'm saying, making my own choice and not being forced to do anything. So it really comes down to the fear and what you choose. You give a person power over you when they come at you forcibly and they make you a choice. That's just like if somebody have a gun to you and they like, listen, eat that dog dookie that's on the ground. And you eat it, you made a choice. Whether they forced you, you still chose.
Yeah, well, see, that's where we have fundamental differences because I don't believe.
Yeah,
that's
I feel you. Well, choice is a choice. Just and you say it, some choices are difficult, some are harder. You know what I'm saying? Like some are harder. Just like if you go to the scriptures, the average person, if they would have got whipped with the how Jesus got whipped, You know what I mean? The first lash of that whip, they giving up. You know what I'm saying? But there's some people, if they have a purpose, you know what I'm saying? Just like you mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King, some people wouldn't have made the choice he made or did the stuff he did because fear would have kicked in and they would have made a choice not to do it because they would have thought. But the purpose in him, you know what I'm saying, was greater.
Like I said, you are looking at it from a different perspective. You're looking at it from a different perspective. I'm not talking about.
Well, I ain't gonna stay stuck on that because if we can't, you know, agree, disagree, however, you know what I mean. But to me, a choice is a choice.
Yes,
how difficult or easy.
And to me, you use two definitions of it, and I don't. One of them, I don't think it's your choice if someone forces you to do something, and then the other one, I don't think it's a choice in regards to how simple it is.
Well, callers, if y'all listening out there right now, the number is 773-897-6319. We would want to hear from y'all if y'all call in. Let us know what y'all feel about choice in certain situations. Is a choice a choice?
Yeah, that's where I differ from, because if you're saying is a choice, then you're basically saying that every choice weight is the same, and I don't see it that way.
Saying
a choice isn't
still,
a choice to me.
What I'm saying
that
choice is still a choice. You know what I'm saying? It's still a choice.
Okay. That's when it comes to, we would just definitely have to agree to disagree on that. Like, because I
just
don't
like,
necessarily
ever seen this
believe
movie,
that belief
you ever seen this
is
movie
a choice.
With it, you ever seen this movie? I think the movie was called Crash. And the cops pulled the dude and his wife over. And the one cop had the dude's wife up on the car. And he start fondling her and, like, touching her and things like that. And the husband is standing there. And he's not saying nothing too much because they the cops. And she's looking at her husband like with this look like, yeah, I know they the cops, but this is something to actually probably get arrested over.
Well, my question to you
and
is,
he made a choice.
Could she have stopped the cop?
What'd you say?
Could she have stopped the cop?
Stopped the cop?
The police officer. No, he took that choice from her.
No, but what I'm
he
saying,
he took
but this
the
is
choice
saying,
from her.
No, he took the choice over her because he was stronger than her and he held her down. My whole point was.
Well, no, it was happening to her though. It was happening to her.
This is his wife. This is
his
wife.
But it was happening
chose,
to her.
No, he could have chose to do something too. That's what I'm talking about. My point wasn't with her. My point was she looked at him with the look. Like, I'm your wife. You're not going to do nothing?
No,
because you're so worried about the cops. He made a choice.
Where was her choice at, though? She was the one being fondled.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, listen, you're looking at it in a whole different way. I'm not
there
talking about if someone is handcuffed down and they can't do nothing. I'm talking about if I come at you and I'm pointing a gun at you and I'm from a distance.
Well, the person who's handcuffed down still has a choice too.
Yeah, but what could she have done?
Exactly.
In the same sense, I am referring to belief. The same type of bondage that someone is handcuffed down is the same type of way. But I say we are looking at it from different perspectives. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not the same. No, it's not.
It is.
It's not the same. It's
okay.
not the same.
Okay.
That's not the same. It's not the same. Because the point I made to you was it's a choice. Right now, you have a choice if somebody smacked your wife. You got a choice to do something or don't do something. It is up to you. Whatever choice you make is still a choice.
You have to understand. That's not necessarily.
It's still a choice. You're going to make a choice whether you choose not to do nothing or do something. It's still a choice.
That's not referring to me. That's referring to my wife who actually got. She is the one. that that is faced with the choice, not me.
Yo, what's
she's the one? Because it's personal.
How are you not faced with a choice and that's your wife?
Because it's personal. When you were
talking about choice, you're right there. Listen. And you're not going to make a choice.
No,
and I'm saying whether you do something
right
or not, it's still a choice. It's still a choice.
Yes, I have the right to choose, but my wife's choice has been taken away, and that's where I'm at.
No, hold up. First of all, listen like this. Nobody's wife. No, hold up. The choice is still not taken away because.
Yes, it is.
Don't know it's not because, listen.
A woman doesn't choose to be raped or abused.
No.
That choice is taken away from her.
No. This is what I'm saying. If someone comes at you with a gun, if they come at you with a gun and point at you and say, take your clothes off, the right thing to do if you want to live is to take your clothes off.
Well, like
you
said, what if I was actually handcuffed?
But if you choose not to, it's still
a choice. Okay, what if I was actually handcuffed, or what if I was being held down by three other guys? Do I have a choice then?
You got a choice to fight.
Do I have? I'm being held down by a number of guys. Do I have a choice then? Do I have a choice?
You still can fight.
How?
No. What I'm saying is like this, and you got a choice. Whatever they do to you, now you got a choice. You can either want to get revenge.
No, it's still a choice. I'm not talking about afterwards.
I'm talking about at that very moment.
Because the circumstances change, then I don't have a choice anymore, and then you're talking about the after effects.
It's always the after effect, though.
I'm talking about right now. The scenario you just used, I gave you one every time, and it's totally different.
You smack me in my face, right? You smack me in my face. I have a choice. I can do something right then.
I'm not talking about the after choice. I'm talking about you took the option of. You didn't ask me whether or not if I wanted to be smacked. You smacked me. I can't do anything about the smack now. Because it already happened. Now, can I react
to
that?
So now there's still a choice, though.
No,
every situation is a choice.
Now you got a choice to do something after it.
Of course, I do. What I'm saying, you can't escape choice.
You can't escape choice.
No, you can't. How can you escape choice?
Okay. They held you down and they did what you did.
Hold up. They held you down and they did what they did to you, right? They forcibly done something to you. All right, you're still alive. All right, off of what they done
to you,
you still have a choice to do something about it.
Of course, I have a choice afterwards. But while I'm there, how come I don't have a choice?
But it's still a choice.
No. How come I don't have a choice while seven guys are holding me down? I can't move. I can't do anything, and they violate me and abuse me. How do I have a choice in that situation? I'm not talking about afterwards. I'm talking about that situation. How do I have a choice?
Hold up. You got a choice if someone's not holding you down, they're pointing a gun at you. I'm talking about
holding me down.
Well, that's a whole different scenario. Because now you can't physically overpower you. But we're talking about choice from a mental state. Because belief is like holding someone down physically. Hold up. Now, if you want to go there with it, right? Let's take it there. They holding you down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they do whatever they do to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing whatever. You can't do nothing.
Exactly. They took my choice away from me.
No, you can't do nothing. You're powerless at that moment.
They took my choice away.
All right. So, did they My thing is like this. Do you like what's being done to you?
Did
they make you like
anything?
It? No. Can they make you like it?
What?
No, listen. Can they make you like it?
Jay, that has nothing to do with it. No.
Yes, it does. Because you're saying like this. You're using the point like this. All right, they're forcing you to do something that you don't want to do, right? They're forcing you because you don't have no power. But do they still have power over you? Do they make you like it? Or in your mind, you still don't want them to do what they're doing?
That has nothing to do with
the
choice.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Because choice is in the mind. Choice is in the mind, Aaron. It's in the mind. It's in your thoughts. Choice is in your thoughts, in your mind.
So I don't want them to do it, and just because I don't like what they're doing, I'm choosing them not to do it, and it's going to make a change?
No.
It doesn't even make sense.
No, what I'm talking about for you personally, just because someone's doing something, just because someone is forcing you, just so if someone comes up to me and they say, listen, I open up a business, and they say, listen, I want money from you every week, or it's going to be so-and-so. I got a choice to let that fear come in on me and give them money every week, or forget what they're saying, make sure I protect myself and stand up for mine. It's a choice.
Well, then you have left the opportunity for choice to come in. But what if they actually came into your place, held you down, allowed you not to get up or to defend yourself, and they took your business or they took your money and left?
Well, that,
then
yo,
then
oh,
you don't have a choice
listen,
in the matter.
No, hold up. That right there. That's, if they don't kill you, you're still alive. It's robbery. I can still do something about what they done.
Of course.
So I can do something. But it's still a choice. Whether I get scared.
A choice afterwards.
No, it's a choice. But it's still
afterwards.
A choice. It's
afterwards.
Still a choice. Hold up, Aaron. You made a choice afterwards. You made a choice after you was raised one way.
Exactly.
And now you think another way.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying, a choice is still a choice.
After the fact, yes. When I am talking about belief, it's not a choice in the very simplest form that you look at choice. Because I didn't choose when I was a young child to be indoctrinated in a certain belief. It was given to me, not by choice. I didn't have a choice in the matter. It was given to me. My parents didn't say, okay, Aaron, what type of religion do you want to follow? It's
like
not
I
a
said,
choice.
Like I said,
then
we're not
afterwards,
talking about,
when
okay,
you get
we're not
older,
talking about,
then you can
we're not
choose
talking about
yourself.
Your days. We're talking about adults here. Why do we
exactly.
We're not,
when
we're
you
not
get
asking a kid. We're not
well,
asking
listen,
a kid.
That's why I told
we're
you.
We're not asking a kid. We're asking adults. Why do you believe? Right now, we're talking from an adult. You're an adult now. So what you do now, when you live your life as an adult, you choose. We're not talking about from the kid point of view and you being raised. We're talking about once when you was a child, you done as a child. You know what I mean? When you became older, you put away childish things. Now we're men, all right? We make choices. We make decisions. So from that angle, we're not talking about that. We're not going to use our childhood as an example. We're talking about now, who we are now, why do we believe? What makes us believe? What makes us make choices? And everything we do right now is a choice, whether it's an easy choice or a hard one. It's still a choice, man.
Okay. Yes, after the fact, you may have choices. I'm saying in its very simplest form,
we're not talking,
choice
you
is
can't
not,
even use that example.
I mean, belief is not
a
choice. I can use that example because
no,
we're talking about belief.
An adult,
and a lot of
adult,
listen,
belief as an adult is a choice.
A lot of times, a lot of times.
Belief as an adult is a choice, Aaron.
A lot of times.
Belief as an adult is a choice.
A lot of
we're
times.
We're not talking about children. We're not talking about you raising your children up
a lot of times.
In a household under your roof. You know, when you're in your
usually,
father's house,
nine times out of ten, if I grow up as a in a certain belief or a certain religion, I'm not going to stray too far away from that belief. No matter what my actions are, I'm not going to stray away from the belief, because the belief was given to me. Now, if I actually become conscious and I actually start taking the role on being independent from what I actually grew up believing,
we're talking about
I actually choose different.
If everyone out there is listening,
then
to this,
I make the choice
to this conversation.
Myself.
We're talking about adults making the choice. We're not talking about kids. We're talking about as an adult.
Okay.
As an adult,
I
we make choices.
I can't necessarily, explain it in any way any better than how I'm explaining it now. It's kind of difficult.
No, and it's like you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not talking about kids when you was raised in your house under your mother's roof.
You're not talking about that, but I'm talking about that.
But what I'm talking about is choice. This show is about why do we believe. Not, it's why do we believe. All right, I'm a grown man. I have my own family. I have my own children. I have my own career. I have my own life. I live in this world. I'm existing in this world. Why do I believe as a man? I have my own thoughts. I can make my own decisions and my own choices. Why do I believe?
And
so
you
from
believe
that angle,
because of how you were raised. That's why you believe.
Yeah, but
the way
no,
you
don't
now.
Because you don't believe how you were raised because you're an adult. So we're speaking from an adult now.
Listen, but you do.
Yeah, I made a choice to.
No.
Yes. I made a choice to, man. Because I am not saying
that you have no factor in it as time progresses and you get older. I'm saying one of the reasons why you accept your religion to be true is because of the choice that was given to you. Something that was forced upon you as a child.
Aaron, I was born 1974.
Okay.
1974. I didn't grow up.
I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about belief.
No, when I'm talking about belief, I grew up around many belief systems, friends with many belief systems.
I'm talking about the people who actually raised you.
No, but what I'm saying though,
indoctrinated you with their belief. And you actually attributed your life based on that belief. Now, you may grow up and actually choose if you're conscious about it, but because of your belief, this is why you believe the way you do today. Because of your upbringing, because of something that was forced on you, you believe the way you do today. Now, I'm not saying that people can't make conscious decisions
because people do it all the time. That's not true. That's not true.
So
man.
You're
that's
saying
not true.
That your mother isn't
because
a Christian?
Yeah, my mother is a Christian.
And you're saying that had nothing to do with you believing the way you do today? Nothing at all?
I found it for myself, man.
You're saying that your mom's influence had nothing to do with you believing the way
you
do today?
No, you know what my mom gave me? Help with the consciousness that there is a God.
Is your mom
somebody
a Christian?
Greater than me. Yeah, but she's a Christian. But she, it wasn't. It, my mom is a Christian, but like I didn't grow up.
So why do you think? Why do you think?
I didn't grow
why
up
do you
forced.
Think
see, I didn't grow up forced to
that
be.
It was more of a chance of you becoming a Christian than you actually becoming a Mormon.
But check this. Hold up. Coming up. You gotta understand, me coming up, yo, Muslims.
I'm not saying who was around you.
Sinners.
I'm not saying who was around you. I'm saying you.
I grew up with the mindset of this is a big world. I grew up with that thought in my mind. I grew up in that thought in my mind.
And you somehow still picked to be a Christian, even though your mother's a Christian and she raised you.
I believe in the God of the Word. When you say Christian, you say that like you say it from.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You say it, yeah, yeah. You're say it
I'm
in a way. But we're not going to go into that.
No, what are you talking about? We're not going into that.
No. What's a Christian?
A Christian are people who are Christ-like, who follow the teachings and the way of Christ. To be a disciple of Christ. I mean, there's so many definitions that you can actually go on to be a Christian.
All right. So,
like I said, the influence.
Did you read the word for yourself?
Sure did.
You read the word for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even once you heard the word preach, maybe aunties or uncles, mom and dad, whatever, you still read the word for yourself, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you find God for yourself? Hold up. Did you find God for yourself, or are you saved through your parents?
I found God for myself with the influence of my parents.
But even with all the influence that they gave you, it still took you to make a decision when you found God, right?
Of course I made a decision.
So what I'm saying,
the
help
of my parents made that decision very likely to be a Christian.
But what I'm saying is like this. You really, listen, when you're younger, you could be, but once you become responsible for your own actions,
mm-hmm.
and you begin to actually, that's when you really choose. Like that's
and
when you
what
really
age
choose.
Is that?
No, it's not even, it's, I ain't going to put an actual age on it, a
so,
number, because some people mature quicker than others.
So I can mature at the age of 21?
No, there's some people that are very immature at that age.
No, and I'm saying that, you know, it's possible that I can come
to
maturity at the age of 21. Like, is that possible?
You could come. There are some very mature. There are some people that are 21 that are very mature, handle business, take care of all types of stuff.
I'm talking about, is it possible that I may not be at a mature level of decision-making when I'm 21?
I just said that. I said some people are more mature than others. I just said that.
So am I held accountable for the actions that I take if I'm 21?
Yeah, according to law, yes.
According to whose law?
In this world, right now, if you're 21 and you do something, you are held accountable for your actions. If you do
How about
something,
God's
if
law?
You break the law, if you break the law.
How about God? How about if I'm not mature, does God still hold me accountable as well?
You know, right now I'm talking now mature and knowing right from wrong. It's two different things.
I'm not talking about right and wrong. I'm talking about maturity in whatever aspect you were using it a second ago.
Yeah, it all depends. It all depends.
Okay.
Because I believe we're judged. First of all, God searches the intents of the heart. So when God searches the intents of the heart, he knows the motives that was behind whatever you've done, whatever was in your heart, whatever decisions you made, he knows the motive in there.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. He knows that. He knows if you're being, you know, spiteful, if you're being rebellious. He knows if you're making mistakes off of ignorance. You know what I mean?
And
you
know that based on what? Like, you know what God knows based on what?
No, on his word. On
okay.
God's word.
No, I'm just asking, okay?
Yeah, that's how I put it this way. I don't know God in the fullness, but the word puts you on the road to begin to get to know God
Is that actually God saying this? Like, who's telling you this about God? Is it God telling
you
this himself?
No. You would say that it's men who wrote the Bible out of their minds.
I'm not saying
that's
anything.
What
I'm asking you.
No, but
no, I'm
that's
asking
what you're,
you. I'm not,
but no, that's
no,
what
I'm not,
your question leads to. That's
Don't
that's
assume
the angle.
Anything.
No, I'm not assuming. I'm right.
Okay.
I know what that question because why would you ask it?
You wouldn't say don't say you're right.
No, I'm saying no.
You
why would
assuming.
You ask it? You know I believe the word that is God when God talks. So why would you even? If that's the case, I wouldn't believe that is God's word.
Well, I mean,
I wouldn't say
that
is God's word if I don't believe that is Him.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah, like if you say the Bible was inspired by by God. Like, I believe that the Bible, the Word of God, was inspired by God. Like, I believe that. I don't care who wrote it, who their name was, whatever their name was. I believe that the Word of God was inspired by God. I believe it's God's Word.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So it's no dispute in that, you know? So, you know, Mr. Aaron.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know, we might have different views on it, you know, about, you know, we might think a little different.
I'm good. I mean,
you know what I'm saying, Mr. Spradley? But let me say, why do you believe, man? Why do you believe now? Like now, today?
Well, like I said, it was part of it is based on what was forced upon me when I was a child.
But why do you believe today? Because you said you got rid of that, the forcing part, because you moved. So why do you believe today?
Well, now I don't necessarily accept all of the things that my parents deemed to be true at that time. So I think that I have come out of that fundamental belief system. So when you ask me why do I believe today, I don't necessarily
accept.
So
what belief system is it now?
I believe in being a good husband, a faithful husband, a good father.
That I can be, and the good father.
Yes.
And a good to my neighbor.
And I can actually prove that
Does the Bible speak on that?
Speak on what?
What you just said. I mean, doesn't it speak on that about, you know, being a good father, you know, your children, your household, and
like I said,
your neighbor, right?
The Bible can be a very ambiguous book. It can mean whatever you choose for it. Yeah, and it also says other things as well. And part of that, yes, I actually got from.
You choose to believe that part, right?
And I actually got that from the Christian belief, yes, and I accept it.
You choose to believe that.
And I will continue to accept it. Yes, I sure will.
You accept
until the day that I die.
Because you agree with it, right?
Yes.
And you made a choice, right? When you accepted.
Sure did.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. So you made a choice. I got you, man. Tonight, man, I wonder what's up with Mr. Apostle Louis Young.
Yeah.
I wonder what's been up with him, man.
I don't know. Did he know that the show was going to be on tonight?
Hold on. You know what? He always knows. I put it on there. Let's call the great apostle, see what's going on with Apostle.
So we have about 4 minutes left?
Yeah, we got like 4 minutes. Yeah. Call him real quick, see if he...
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of Vic09.
Okay.
And his phone went straight to voicemail, huh?
Yeah, it went straight to voicemail. Straight to voicemail. Hold up, you know what? I'm going to call somebody else, see if they answer. Maybe they answer him. Just to ask them a question, why they believe. Watch this. Hopefully they answer. Hello? Hello, is this the great chief musician Aaron Brooks?
Yo, what's going on with you, Jay?
What's going on, man? I was just letting you know, man, you live on the air right now.
Oh, we on the air?
Yeah, we live on the air right now. I called with a question to ask you.
All right,
live
go
on the air. Why do you believe?
Why do I believe?
Yes. Why do you believe the God that you believe? Why do you believe? Period.
Well, from my foundation, I was taught to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was part of what I was grown, how I was raised in the church, in the fear of God, and to acknowledge the presence. As I've gotten older and experienced life, I can credit God for everything because of what I was taught as a young man. So the experience is why I believe. And now I understand that I no longer have to prove the existence of God to anyone else. Someone else would have they would have to give the argument as to why he doesn't exist, because I already know that he does.
Okay, so what you're saying is you were raised to know about the God that you worship and
pray
today.
I was taught about him, right.
You was taught about him. But
I was taught.
You found what you was taught about to be true to you.
Yeah, it came from an experience. See, it's one thing to hear about God. It's another thing to experience him. You can be taught many things. You can be taught a lesson, per se, in school. But it's not until you actually have to put that lesson into practical use that you really have learned something. You know, there's knowledge and then there's wisdom. Knowledge is just, it's more or less like the academic part, but the wisdom comes with the experience. So I believe out of the experience. But I believe I have the experience because I was taught. When earlier on in most young people's lives, if they're taught that to give credit to somebody else, to their parents or to say any other type of religion, or just say, as we hear, you bring yourself up by your own bootstraps. And if you have that bootstrap theology, then you might believe that everything you do is of your own fruition and you don't credit anything that's outside. But last time I checked, we're not making any storms. We haven't put any suns in the sky. We haven't created any moons. So until we learn how to do that still, if we can do it in shorter than 3 to 6 days, then maybe we could give credit to man. But until then, we got to give it all to God, the higher being, which we call God, and the triune God, which is God the Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Well, Mr. Advocate, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I mean, he just proved my point. How are you, Mr. Brooks?
Good, Mr. Advocate.
He just proved what I have been saying all along. I don't necessarily want to go into anything else that he says because it's not necessarily dealing with the topic. But
yeah, let me ask you this. Do you believe it's a choice?
Are you asking me that question?
Yeah.
Is what a choice? To believe in
God.
In God? In the existence of God? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It is a choice. I mean, the Bible says to choose ye this day whom you shall serve. You can't serve two masters. But I believe that I didn't choose Christ. Christ chose me. Like he said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. So it's not in my carnal mind, I would say, yes, I chose God. But it in all honesty, living a life with Christ would not be my quote-unquote natural choice. I'd much rather live under my own precepts of the laws of this land, or of the law of man, that I would do whatever it is I wanted to do and without repercussion. But here's the thing, and Bishop Wilcox says it, I would rather live my life as if there is no, well, if I live my life, I rephrase, if I live my life as if there was a God and died and found out that there wasn't one, I haven't lost anything. I've treated my neighbor right. I've lived by the two masterful commandments, which is to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and then the second being to love your neighbor. So if I die and find out that there is no God, I haven't lost anything. But if I live my life as if God doesn't exist and then die and find out that he does, then I've lost everything. So I'll choose Christ, just in case.
Just in case? Okay. And what? Just one more thing before we get off the air, Hoja, I just want to ask you this question. Is it possible for someone to be raised in a household of believers and raised, and the child doesn't believe?
Oh, for sure. And most of the time I would say it's the believer's fault. I mean, because sometimes the theology that we preach is not the theology that, or the life that we practice. It's all well and good to get and talk about, you know, biblical things and talk about faith, but yet we don't exhibit none. We might talk about trusting, or, I mean, there are a lot of people who say they love the church when they're, or say they love the pastor in front of the pastor, and then when they go home, they cuss the pastor out and they hate him. So the kids begin to see the hypocrisy that exists, and they're like, I don't want to know that God that you talk about. Or they might see you living differently than what you talk about, or, you know, maybe they see their friends or other adults not acting with the same amount of love that they should. Sometimes young people find more problems being in church because church people are hateful and they don't know how to talk to young people. They don't know how to talk to each other. Sometimes there's more chaos and fighting going on in church than there would be at home. Marriages are being destroyed because we know that the wife might fix the pastor a plate but won't fix her husband a plate. The husband will go and hug everybody else's wife but won't hug his own. So there's a lot of hypocrisy that children see. So, of course, they'll grow up and be like, you know what? I don't want to have nothing to do with church. But the Bible does teach us that if you train up a child in the way that he should go, you know, he won't depart from that teaching, or which is to say that, you know, you might go outside, but what we instill in our children is there. They may go to believe a different faith because the entire enlightenment process everybody has to go through. It's like, and maybe they become enlightened through Buddhism, or they might become Muslim and agree with the discipline and the different teachings of our Muslim brothers and sisters. So they have to find their way on their own. But it's very much possible, and like I said, a lot of times it's the fault of the parents or those who have influence over them, because we can influence children in a negative way.
So someone who believes or say they believe as a believer, their life should reflect what they're saying they believe in.
That's our duty.
So when it doesn't, My question to you is, do they really believe the way they say they believe?
Well, if we look at it like this, I wouldn't challenge that they
don't believe.
But if we look at the original Jewish law, a writer sat down and figured out that there were actually 600 plus different laws that the Pharisees and the Sadducees
613
to follow, which pretty much was impossible. And then they tried to trip Jesus up at the temple when he was teaching. When the man asked him, well, what is the two greatest commandments, you know? And he gave it to him. So just because you don't do everything doesn't mean you don't believe. But you can't completely do the opposite and call yourself a believer. No, I don't think you can continue to practice. You can't continue to practice unbelief and say you believe. Your mouth has to line up with your actions after a while, because that's like schizophrenia. When you say one thing, but you do something different, or in biblical terms, the heart.
Mm-hmm. Would you accept the fact that if someone is deliberately lying, saying that they see this to be true, but in retrospect, or turn around and do something entirely different, with the intentions on basically fooling you or blatantly lying to you, is different from one who actually believes but may be challenged in their belief based on the circumstance or situation that may come up and put their faith to a test?
I would agree with that. Because when we're a lot of times we don't know what we will do when we're faced with certain situations, and God wants to be our first choice, but we recognize that a lot of times God is our last choice. When we're in need of money, there's a lot of different hustles that run through our minds as opposed to sitting and waiting and trusting in God to give us a positive way to do things. But when you deliberately practice to deceive, really you're only deceiving yourself, because we have to work out our own soul salvation so that that we can get other folks into heaven, but that we can get ourselves in, you know. So we have to be, there is a difference when you just deliberately try and deceive folks to make you look like you're so holy when you know you really ain't.
Yeah. So you would say to practice something over and over and over and over constantly, that's just eventually, if you're a believer or you say a believer, some changes should begin to start taking place in your life, right? Am I right or wrong?
There has to be change. I mean, as he talks about, when you mind the things of the spiritual, there are spiritual rewards. When you mind the things of the flesh, we know that death comes upon us. So there's a computer term that's garbage in, garbage out. When we used to do programming, we used to say that. If you're not putting in, if you're putting in negativity, if you're putting in malice, hatred, the only thing you're going to get out is that very same thing. It's going to be malice. It's going to be hatred. It's going to be lying. But if you put in the positive things of the word, it will root out all of those negative things. Now, not completely, because we're in this flesh. We won't be perfected until that day of resurrection. But over time, there has to be, like you said, yes, there has to be a change. There has to be evidence of what you believe. as James said, show me your faith by your works, without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There has to be an evidence in your belief. There has to be some sort of manifestation. You just can't say, yeah, I believe God's going to do something, so I'm going to go to this casino and make this money. That's not faith. You can't just say, you know, I believe God's going to heal me and never actually go to the doctors or act upon it to find out what's actually wrong with you. I mean, he gave us common sense as well, so there's got to be some action involved with what we believe.
Okay. Well, listen, man, Minister Brooks, we appreciate you, man, spending a little bit of time with us here on Dirty Church Radio, man. Hopefully, we'd love to have you back on, man, especially as one of a guest panelist, man, on the show.
Yeah, really.
One of these days. Yeah,
oh,
man.
Definitely.
On this show, though, there's no topic or issue is out of bounds. We really talk about things that normally people wouldn't talk about, but it's,
it's really appreciated. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah,
for sure,
man,
and I'll be calling in again and definitely be a part of the panel.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it, man. You have a blessed night, bro.
You do the same, brother. Brothers, be safe out there.
All right. Well, Mr. Aaron, Devil's Advocate Spradley.
Yes, sir.
As always, I enjoy every show that we do.
It's
always a blessing. It's always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
You always push things to the edge.
You wouldn't be an awesome believer and a better believer if I didn't.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to keep believing. So it can make you keep pushing me to believe more. But yo, man, listen. Just to say, man, you believe it's almost at 5,000, man?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah, it's almost at 5,000, man. So it's a blessing, man. Listen, I'll be hitting you up tomorrow, man. We'll be back on the air. Everyone, all listeners out there, just stay tuned. The new topics for this week will be posted between tonight and tomorrow morning. We're going to let our brother Devil's Advocate Spradley on the live on the air. Well, not live on the air. This is the archives right here. But what time are we going to be on this week, man?
I think 9 o'clock is an awesome time.
Well, listen, everyone out there, listen, 9 o'clock. The rest of this week, look forward to some great shows, dealing with some issues, dealing with some great topics, and we can't wait to hear from you, God's creation. So God bless you all. Stay tuned to Dirty Church Radio. It's a show that's on the rise, and it couldn't rise without you all. And we appreciate the support from you all. We love you here on Dirty Church Radio.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying thank you. Thank you for all the listeners out there.
But we'll see y'all tomorrow, November the 5th, 2012, Monday night at 9 p.m. Dirty Church Radio. Stay tuned. Be blessed. Peace. We out.
All right. Good night.
Good night, man.